Special guest,
Mystery Nobody.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Oh, Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. All sorts of stuff going on, trying to keep things straight, trying to keep running.
Like the great Thin Lizzy song.
I don't know which one you're talking about. I'll come running back to you again.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's like running back,
running back.
Yeah, great song. I think I have that on an early running playlist I made on Spotify that was not necessarily good running songs, but just songs with running in the title,
songs mentioning running.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm guessing you've also been doing a lot of actual running because you got a big event coming up.
So much running. Less than 2 months from the New York Marathon. So I've gotten a little more serious about upping the mileage, and I've done pretty good with that. I ran a few miles earlier today. I ran 7.5 miles yesterday, about 4 the day before that.
Nice.
I did a nice 13.1 over the weekend and even another 13.1 last week. So yeah,
excellent.
Putting on the miles.
How about you?
Are you running any sympathy miles with me over there?
I'm running some miles here and there where I can. I've still not been as consistent as I would like, but happy with the running I am doing. If I reflect on the year in running, it's definitely been a lot less miles than the past 2 years, but doing what I can. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're all running our own race.
Yeah,
gotta remind yourself that when you're looking at the 50,000 people around you in the New York Marathon, I'm not racing all these people.
That's right. Or analyzing Strava stats from a 3 mile, 10 minute mile run.
I'm celebrating yet another year of not being on Strava.
And I think that's great. I've the toxicity of Strava definitely comes through. I've tried to step away from most aspects of it. I do like to track distance and elevation, so those are the things I'm kind of using it for still.
Yeah. I'm even like trending in the opposite direction where I'm trying to figure out ways to get rid of my cell phone altogether. Cause awesome. Some of my favorite runs usually I run without one. I just leave it at home and that's great. I'm just a big fan of not having a phone with me when I'm out of the house.
I was thinking about that as a concept the other day. Cause we've talked several times in our more, informative episodes about perceived exertion and things of that nature. I was wondering if we should just go to perceived mileage.
Yeah.
And that might be a way for me to just boot Strava out entirely. And I think I have a good enough handle on it now. I generally have a gut feel for my pace, having run faster before, having kind of understood the pace I'm running at now. Like, I can give you a pretty accurate read on the amount of mileage I do in a time period with, understanding my level of effort and everything.
I think I generally know how far I'm running. My run earlier today was a good example. I don't know how far I ran, and it was, I didn't even have like a pre-chosen route. And I have a good reason for that. One thing I've been trying to do recently with the marathon approaching is, not just up the mileage, but up the incline in my runs, because
nice.
I know that made a big difference when I ran LA in March, was that I trained a lot in Central Park and I was ready for the hills. And so recently I haven't been running in Central Park as much, but I've started running the bridges more. I've talked previously about running home from Brooklyn at night over the Williamsburg Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've started doing the Manhattan Bridge more recently. And 2 days ago, I tried a very fun run that ended up being a very funny run where I ran over the Manhattan Bridge and then to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I figured it was a weekday. Brooklyn Bridge gets pretty crowded for anyone who hasn't been there. It's a big tourist attraction and people walk over it, and it's really beautiful and fun to do. And I've walked over it before, but I'd never run over it. But, and you know, the Manhattan Bridge is not crowded. But then I got to the Brooklyn Bridge lunchtime on a Tuesday, and it was just like, it was like running through a bazaar in like a film where you're trying to get away from like someone chasing you. And there were just so many people there the whole way across, and it was ridiculous. Definitely seems like it's a lovely run otherwise. So I'll definitely have to go back at earlier morning times and when it's colder out and stuff like that. But my run today, what I did was I ran over Manhattan, and then I wanted to just kind of explore other ways I could run over there before turning around. And so I just kind of improvised my way down to the river and ran along the river for a while, and then turned around and just did it backwards.
Yep.
But well, so I don't have any idea how far I actually went because of that.
Your Brooklyn Bridge experience sounds very much like a scene from an Antonioni, you know, movie or something.
Yeah, it was great. If I did have a running playlist on, it would have to have some kind of crazy, I don't even know what, like film score music, you know, like I'm thinking of like whatever I'm thinking of like the opening of Darjeeling Limited when Bill Murray is in a cab and then running to try to catch that train. And there's this like ridiculous Bollywood music playing that makes you feel frantic and rushed and nervous.
Yeah.
So that's what I would have been listening to on repeat.
I think most Wes Anderson soundtracks would lend themselves well. I'd say they mostly run. I mean, that soundtrack in particular, I know, has it's got Strangers by the Kinks and a number of other classics on there.
Yeah. Well, as he's running up the platform, you might remember he gets overtaken by the three main characters of the film, and the soundtrack switches to This Time Tomorrow by the Kinks, and he doesn't make the train, and they all run, and they do catch the train.
Very Kinks heavy soundtrack. You really can't go wrong there.
No, I got to try running to that soundtrack. Actually, that'll be a good soundtrack for depending how it's sequenced for a strides run, where you want to run fast during the Bollywood songs and slow during the Kinks songs.
Yeah,
that's our Wes Anderson soundtrack running suggestion of the week.
new segment.
Yeah, we'll try that out next week, and maybe let us know if you tried it out at home, and or just let Dave Rawlings know, and he'll pass along the message.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I guess changing gears a little bit. Well, did you have anything else on weekend running?
No, I think that's it. We could circle back to it later if anything pops into my head.
My weeks in running have become a little bit repetitive. It's kind of the same old story. But I don't really have much to report on this end.
Okay.
Mediocre weekend running again.
Well, there's something for that. Running the middle path, we used to talk about a lot. So
yeah,
we'll make this the new definition of that. I guess I should just add that my 13.1 over the weekend was a lovely run from Chinatown over the Manhattan Bridge up to Prospect Park, and then like almost two laps of Prospect Park, and then heading back. And that was like a pretty awesome run with a lot of hills. So
yeah. I will say I'm hopeful with young apprentices returning to their apprenticeships. I have more structure in my day-to-day, which should allow for some more consistent windows of running opportunity. That's we'll check back on the next episode and see if that actually plays out. But that's been the case this week. I've been able to run several times because of that. So it's been nice.
I can't wait to hear how that goes. And although we did kind of fail this past summer getting me out on a trail and a trail run, still like to do that sometime. And maybe it's a good time to remind you that I think you committed to run a road race marathon sometime in 2025.
That's right. It was originally supposed to be early 2025. That might still be possible, but I'm definitely gonna have to work. It's a good motivation to build that base back up.
Yeah.
Which actually I've embraced that sort of rebuild of, you know, I throw strides in here and there, but I'll start to build hill workouts in. But for the most part, just running slowly for whatever time I have.
Just
racking up the volume.
Yeah, just get the miles there, then you're ready to train. Well, then maybe I'll just throw this out there. What I've been thinking is about maybe running the Austin Marathon in February.
Ooh, okay.
just considering it. And I said to myself and maybe to a couple other people out loud that I'll decide after running New York, because it's only 3 months after New York. So I'd have to see how well I do recovering, how quick I'd basically have to start training right away in a couple of weeks. But I'd be coming from a pretty high mileage point. So it feels like that wouldn't be too hard to do.
I think so. Yeah. In my mind, I was going to run an even lesser marathon, like, I don't know, Pittsburgh or something, or.
I don't think Pittsburgh's lesser than Austin. I think it's pretty big.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I think that's kind of like a second, you know, like a Los Angeles, Philly level marathon kind of.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
I'm open. I would recommend one of those. To me, like, as much as I loved running Providence, it's just kind of too small of an event.
Yeah. And you're trying to give me the experience that you love. You want to share this graciously with your co-host. And
exactly.
So I think I need to follow your lead a bit. Just as I know you will on that eventual trail.
Exactly. I can't wait. I already almost know what shoes I'm getting. I think I'm getting the Salomon somethings.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think you mentioned those. I think that's a great choice for you based on your gear shed, analyzing the past several gear shed reviews. That looks like a good pick for you.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's not even Week in Running, but you were going to change gears to a new topic, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we need to pause and just reflect on some really amazing accomplishments of special guests. It's been a banner week in running for some special guests. Happy to just kind of lightning round through some of those achievements.
Let's do it.
All right. So let me see, I got to get my notes up on this one.
Okay.
In the world of Paralympics, still ongoing for the next 3 days as of the recording of this episode, which okay. Highly recommend tuning in. Some really awesome athletes competing in some really cool ways. So Eva Houston, special guest, competed in the 100-meter and got a fourth place finish just behind Hanyu Lan of China. 2/10 of a second difference.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Congratulations, Eva. That's huge.
So that's huge. Special guest Beatrice Hatz. I think she's competing in several events. I know she scored her first Paralympic medal in the long jump, which does involve running prior to jumping.
You got to run right up to that white line.
And she got a bronze. And I still think back to, we actually talked to her a bit on that episode about the mechanics of long jumping with the blade and how you actually get a lot more efficiency jumping off the blade. And so, yeah, obviously rooting all of our special guests on, but a couple great accomplishments there.
Yeah. Congratulations. And I highly recommend watching Beatrice's bronze medal jump. Long jump is such a fun event to watch anyway, because anybody who can jump long enough to be competitive in that is just kind of throwing themselves in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then luckily it's a sand pit you're landing in, so it's okay. But then, and then so Beatrice, her landing is even, you know, a little more, I don't know what the right term for it would be, but she, you know, just throwing herself out there as far as she can, and then landing as safely as possible, you know, within the constraints of what she's trying to do. And so it's kind of great as she just kind of like crashes into the ground, you know,
huck and pray. And,
yeah, that's right. It's a classic huck and pray, and it's beautiful to watch.
And and my favorite part about that clip, which I think she shared on her Instagram, I think we might have reposted a story about it, but just her excitement and joy afterwards, just the celebration is really cool to watch too.
Oh, yeah.
So. She knew she had landed a medal at that point, and it's a pretty special moment.
Pretty amazing.
I'm just going to keep going. I mean, yeah. It's been a busy week of accomplishments.
Keep chugling.
We got some accomplishments from both of our special guests, Wills, both Wills.
Oh, okay.
Will Sheff played a remarkable tribute what would you call it? It's fundraising event for the local land trust.
Yeah, that's right. The Upper Valley Land Trust in Upper Valley, New Hampshire.
Yep. Whaleback Mountain in Enfield. And I'm sure we'll get to that a little bit later. Several of us attended from the Power Motion Picnic, our community, and just put on a great performance. Really a special yeah. night for everyone, I think.
That's right. Yeah, no actual running, but a hell of an accomplishment. A bit of a reunion of the original Aucrerville River lineup. Mm-hmm. Good to see multiple special guests and listeners in person at that event. So that was nice. And it maybe no actual running at it, but there was some dancing. There was some elevation gain by people just kind of walking around mm-hmm. the non snow covered ski trails of Whaleback. So just a beautiful evening in general.
I was surprised to see a sometimes listener from Vermont, probably log the most vert at the event with several trips sort of up the mountain a bit.
Yeah.
In various directions, more of a bumble than a run, but, still some strong work. I did demonstrate a downhill running to, just a section of downhill running to that sometimes listener, as well as listener Dan, as I was leaving the hill to come back down to the base area. Showed off a little downhill okay. running skills.
So there's a little running. I missed that. I might have been dancing at the time, or eating chili, perhaps. definitely one of the two. But yeah, that classic example of the, you know, why climb, saunter, bumble slightly up Whaleback Mountain. Because it's there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Got to take it in from all angles. all right, moving on, and we'll probably come back to that. I'm guessing, cause we have some exciting mailbag that hit sort of related to, but,
I'm glad to hear,
special guest Will Peterson now with these, he held the unsupported long trail fastest known time has now, we heard he was going for it and he did achieve the, supported, did the whole long trail in under 4 days, which is kind of unfathomable.
That's insane. And I think he did it unsupported in like 4.5, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. And congratulations.
I really liked his write-up. Just very gracious. Gives just tremendous credit to everybody but himself, the person who actually sort of traversed those 100 miles in the fastest time ever, but just the whole crew and the support system, and just a really nice sort of acknowledgement that it's a community effort.
Yeah. Kind of like in that Monty Python skit where the police go to arrest him. He says, it's not my fault. Society's to blame. And the cops, he's right. Arrest everyone else. like that.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. And lastly, rounding it out, Katie Scheid with a course record at UTMB, probably the largest, most competitive ultra race in the world.
That's amazing.
Beating Courtney's time from just last year and logging her second 100-mile UTMB victory. So congrats, special guest Katie.
Congrats, Katie. What a week for special guests. It's crazy.
Just amazing. I mean, this is the great thing about this community is it just keeps giving.
I'm glad you had that all ready to go, because I like to come on here so unprepared that I forget everything I should mention. So I could forget my own runs, even the one I did earlier today. So it's nice that somebody is following some sort of script.
I jot down a note here or there, notable things that I want to mention and sometimes do.
Well, the system works. I think maybe now we should transfer to a new segment and transfer from special guests to listeners. In a new segment, we got our first response right ever to a request from the show, an outbound mailbag on air, requesting a listener to write and record and submit a song.
Yes. Several episodes back, we could probably, well, we're not going to be able to reference it unless you happen to know which one it is, but
I don't.
several episodes ago, we did sort of give that challenge at the end to listener Dan, who is a frequent mailbag contributor, winner of last year's community mile in the heavily contested running division, as everyone knows, but also a frequent contributor to the mailbag, mostly talking about various things sort of about or adjacent to regional Stoner Rock.
Yeah.
And I know he's a prolific musician and songwriter, and so seemed like a good challenge that he would be able to take on, and boy did he ever.
He did. Yeah, he heard the call, and he wrote a tribute to the Power Motion Picnic Hour. It's a bit of some writing, some cover of the theme song of the show included, although it really feels like 75% writing and 25% tribute slash cover. But it's pretty amazing. And I think I'll probably play some clips of it right here. And then maybe we'll put the entire song at the end of the episode. So if anyone,
I think that'd be great. Yeah. And I think for those who haven't already, just, you know, it's available on Spotify. It's available on the major platforms. Go ahead and add it to your favorite playlist. You can also find it on the Power Motion Picnic, our official playlist, also available on Spotify. So a lot of ways to get that great, that great tune from listener Dan.
Yeah. And maybe while you're there, try it out, see if it runs.
Mm-hmm.
And please do let Dave Rawlings know if it runs, and then we'll talk about it, and maybe we'll see if it runs. And definitely while you're there, check out his other music, because he's got lots of songs on Spotify, and he's an awesome songwriter. I don't know how well they all run, but they're all nice to listen to. So
that's right. Yeah. I think that's what actually spurred it too, was maybe a mailbag entry, but also some really beautiful releases coming out. Tends to release singles, you know, sort of focuses in on a track, releases it, and onto the next one. And the variability is just impressive. The range, the blending of styles, and just a real craftsman, a real master of his craft.
Yeah, so we really appreciate that. That was awesome. We hope you guys like it. And yeah, like we said, stay tuned at the end of the episode. We'll edit that in after the theme song fades out.
I can't wait. This is exciting for us too.
What a time to be alive and also a podcaster. popular or not, although it's nice to be a popular podcaster. Good place to be. That was a new segment, and I always love new segments. How about we go for it? An old segment, and maybe we go stroll into the gear shed for a minute.
Let's do it.
I headed down this past weekend to my local running shoe store, and because all my shoes are getting kind of worn out, and I needed something new, and I'm trying to figure out what to run in the marathon, and I like to switch it up. So I had my foot scanned, put mm-hmm. through all the whatever. I hadn't done that in a while, and you know, I used to always run with a neutral shoe, right? At least as long as I knew what a neutral shoe was. And I assume before I knew what a neutral shoe was, I was also running in a neutral shoe. Mm-hmm. But then a couple of years ago, they pointed me at stability shoes. So I've been running in those. And then at this last scan this past weekend, they put me back in a neutral shoe.
Oh,
so I've changed. It's good I got scanned again. They said, I'm not over pronating anymore.
Well, that's good. What shoe did you end up with? Or did you try several?
I tried several. I don't really remember what they're all called. I tried an ASICS that the very helpful salesperson at Fleet Feet on 14th Street helped me with, and she runs in those. And mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, how many miles a week do you run?" And she said, "2," and we laughed because I had told her I'm doing like 30 something. So I said, "All right, well, maybe they were good, but maybe her recommendation didn't mean as much." And then a pair of Adidas that were similar to the last Adidas I'd been running in. I can't remember what they were, but then I settled on the shoe I really wanted, which was recommended by our very own female gear shed testing correspondent, her newest shoe that she loves. And now my newest shoe, the Saucony Endorphin 4.
Oh, very nice.
It's a great shoe. And I ran in it. I've run in it 3 times since getting them, and I loved it every time. I'm going to try it out on a big run this weekend. Going to probably do about 14 and a half miles on Saturday. So
do you happen to know, was it the Endorphin Speed or the Endorphin Pro?
I don't know. I mean, I could.
Okay.
The shoe's not in the room with me right now.
I think either way, you've got a plate in there. You got a plate shoe.
Yeah. Oh, it's very different. And that's the only thing that maybe made me consider not getting it, was it felt different. They kind of feel weird to walk in. But they feel great to run in. And, they spring you forward, you know, they're really mm-hmm. responsive, not too much cushion. I guess some people complain they're too firm, but not for me, not yet. Anyway, I've done about 14 or 15 miles the last few days. Like I said, I'm going to do a 14 and a half on Saturday. So if it feels good after that, I'm going to declare them good.
That's great. I've one sort of other downside to fewer miles this year, aside from just, you know, not doing this thing that I love quite as much, is I haven't been able to justify new shoe purchases for a while. So kind of a combination of both trying to be a little bit environmentally conscious about it, get the most life as I can out of what I do buy, partially not frustrate the unaffiliated member of the household that I live with. And then partially just haven't worn through them. So I'm still rocking a couple pairs that have kind of brought me through this year without a new shoe purchase for some time now.
You'll get there. Yeah, no, I mean, you got to wear them out, right, to justify the new ones. And it's a bit of one of the more expensive aspects of what can in general be a fairly cheap hobby, because, you know, you don't need much. You just need some running clothes and some running shoes. But you do, if you're doing 30 miles a week, you burn through those shoes pretty fast.
Yeah, you start to, if not need, at least want some other things, rollers and recovery stuff. And you can definitely go down the rabbit hole of running related gear. If you don't watch out.
No, but anyway, if you can swing it, it's pretty fun to buy new running shoes. And the Saucony Endorphin 4s were pretty great. And so I'm pretty excited to keep running in those. I'm thinking I'll ride train in them all the way up to the marathon and then get a new pair right before it.
That's great. Oh, that's really great. Yeah. I've, in lieu of being able to buy new running shoes, I've been considering a lot of running shoes. I've been looking at some various running shoe options, trying to plan out the next purchase.
There are so many. I'm excited to be back in the world of neutral shoe runners, because there are more options.
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel like I get drawn to like what I think of as like something more exotic, but not even, they're not actually exotic really. It's just that I haven't been thinking about them, or no one's suggested them. Like, I'm in the store and I'm like, these Pumas look pretty cool.
There's
nothing really that exotic about Puma as a brand. And like, I've never heard anyone suggest a Puma running shoe. So
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the world of trail running shoes, where I spend most of my time, there's all kinds of entrants into the space. Everybody wants a piece of that. So there's a lot of interesting options. There's some specialized brands, there's some classics, but you know, ultimately I like the gear shed style of you try a few things and you go with you know, like we do with many aspects of life, you do what feels right.
That's right.
You just go by that.
I love running around the running shoe store, because I feel like I've spent so much time in that store in particular, but running shoe stores in general, that like I'm very comfortable just popping on shoes and running around the store, where I think most people there are a little more, you know, cautious and reserved. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it's just a thing I do all the time. So I just run in laps around, you know, around the racks and running around, you know, the shorts and the water bottle rack, and other people are, I'm like, hey, you gotta try them out, you know?
Yeah. No shame in that.
I liked when we were down in Austin a few weeks ago, female gear shed testing correspondent and myself, and that's where she got her Saucony Endorphin 4s. And that was, you know, Austin's not the same as New York for many reasons, but one being it's less congested and less space right outside this store. So when she put hers on, they're like, yeah, go outside, run around the block.
Yeah. And
that's better, obviously, than running around the water bottle rack.
They can't do that in New York, because too many people would just keep running, not come back.
Probably, right? I mean, I mean, I guess they could do it in Austin too, but
they do that. I guess they could, but you know, maybe harder to get lost in a less congested space. I guess you're kind of,
maybe they'd let me though. I mean, like, I'm in the computer, you know, like when we did my new foot scan, they were like comparing it to my old one. Like, I'm not like a mystery nobody. I'm like, you could like look up I have like an account there, you know? And like,
yeah.
They can see
that guy's cool.
But anyone who buys as many goos as I do can't live without the running shoe store. So I can't, you know, cut myself off by just running home.
Yeah, that's true. I had that experience at a Marathon Sports in the Boston area. They let me try on a few pairs and run with them outside, which was very helpful. It actually took me away from a pair that I thought I wanted, and back to a tried and true. This was a while back now, but yeah, it was good to kind of go into the gear shed expecting one outcome and, you know, come out with an entirely different one.
Oh yeah. I love going in just like a running shoe store, just wherever it is, you know, like I think I talked about the time I went into the running shoe store in Cardiff when I was in Wales. That was great. I think I wanted the ASICS Gel Kayanos at that point.
I've actually been looking at a pair of ASICS trail shoes. They're not really known in the trail world, but they have a couple interesting, interesting models on offer at the moment.
I always think I want them, ASICS, because, I don't know. Cause I like my Mizunos. So I want to try out the other great Japanese running shoe perhaps. And then I did run in some ASICS gels back in, the late '90s.
Yep. Yep.
So, I want to kind of go back to those days, but not that I was that fast then. So maybe I can blame it on the shoes.
Yeah. It's all ASICS' fault.
I'm certainly faster than I was. I mean, our community mile last summer with my, I'm going to call it a PR 623. I don't think I ever ran that as a kid. And that actually brings us to another next week in running. Is that a segment? Is that it? We've probably had that one without calling it that.
Well, I don't know. But yeah, go for it.
Next week in running, possibly the next song listener Dan writes, it'll be for the next week in running segment. We can play every time we talk about it. On Sunday, I'm going to run the Fifth Avenue mile.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. And the only downside is it's the day after a 14 and a half mile training run. So I don't know if the conditions are ripe for a PR, but I'll try.
You can only try. I do think the environment, on the one hand, you'll have the energy from the crowd that you can feed off of, but there's also just the many people in your way that, you know, there was a little bit of traffic on John V. Lindsay East River track, but not like what I imagine the Fifth Avenue mile will be like.
No. And I think like the way the corrals are set up, I don't think they're going to have us separated purely by pace, which is unfortunate because I believe my corral is 40 through 49 year old men who run a sub 8:30. And so I'm looking to be far sub 8:30. So I, you know, who knows? It seems that just sounds crazy. Like it's going to be just a total mess at the beginning of people running different speeds, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll line you up. Maybe there's subdivisions in between that in within the corral that I haven't seen where you stand around with your projected pace, hopefully. You
just kind of wedge your way up to the front.
Yeah. And then I can try to, you know, let's see what. So 6:23, I can go to 6:15 and try to keep up with the people who, you know, line up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good strategy. I think that actually could make you run faster if you're trying to keep pace, not have to pass many people, but more try to catch up to people. That might be a really good strategy.
I'm going to try. I don't, you know, I have my PR from running with you, and I don't think I could run as fast without having you right behind me and just in the terror of just trying to go fast enough that you can't catch me, but knowing that you probably will. And then having you pass me 150 meters out, which then gives me something to kick for, which is to try to catch back up as you're kicking. I don't know if I could PR without that like exact scenario. But yeah, maybe I will find somebody to lock onto who's like a great pace and just, you know, stick with them, and maybe I can PR that way.
Yep, for sure.
I don't think there's a chance, but whatever. I'll report back next episode with my time and experience, you know, level of enjoyment, community mile style report.
Community mile style. The Power Motion Picnic Hour is all about transparency and intellectual honesty, and, you know, that's part of it, right? The time will be the time.
Yeah. And it also makes me think, are we going to do a community mile this year?
We were supposed to. I was just reflecting on that we probably should have been doing it right around this time.
Yeah. Well, we could still probably do it sometime. Maybe we'll do one a little later. Maybe we'll do it in the fall instead of a summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fall's better running season anyway.
We make up the rules here. That's one of the benefits of hosting a podcast.
Yeah.
We can give listeners a little heads up here that community mile likely to come. I think we did get buy-in from Will Peterson that he might participate in the uphill mile with me.
Oh, cool.
We'll see. I don't know.
I'll probably just go back to the John Lindsay track. Or maybe, you know, maybe I'll branch out and go to the Williamsburg track, the McCarran Park track at the Williamsburg Greenpoint border.
You could also do, I mean, you could do whatever you want. You could run the river.
It's true. Could map a mile at the river.
Yep. Wonder what popular runner Jim Pergolesi is going to do.
It's going to be fast.
It's going to be fast.
It's going to involve visual hallucination and it's going to be fast. That's yeah. all I know. He's going to run as fast as an owl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they're known for sprinting. I guess they sprinted that mouse running across the field when they come swooping out of a tree. That's pretty fast.
Oh yeah. Owls go pretty fast. I think, I think they go quite fast.
Okay. Well, he's going to be fast as an owl that may or may not exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's and I know we also have, we've got some special guests in the pipeline. I know that listeners are always anxious to know. Well, we never really reveal who is coming up next, but just that there will indeed be others joining the conversation. And since we didn't call that out up front, in case you're wondering now, as we reach the end of the episode, there's no special guest this week, but hopefully soon.
And also until next time. Special guest. I have like an account there. This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
And I was wondering if listener Dan would perhaps be interested in writing a Power Motion Picnic Hour related song. I'd be honored to have a Power Motion Picnic song by listener Dan.
And it's like bump, 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 bump. Na-na-na-na-na. It's just that little bump, 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 bump. Na-na-na-na-na. It was just like bump, 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 bump. I have bad rhythm, not a drummer. Yeah.
This isn't just for kids racing from tree to tree in Central Park.
Come along, is a season of the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Now we hit the trail and never the venue's down.
That's a mountain that could almost be in Massachusetts.
We discuss it on a podcast. The month, every trip. What about kids? Oh, yeah! Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Say your name, special guest.
I thought it was called Strides for Speed. And I